Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. I'm Linda Cohen. We continue with our recollections of the events and consequences of 9/11/2001. And joining us with his own story is Dr. Michael Iannuzzi, professor and chair of the Department of Medicine at Upstate Medical University with a specialty in pulmonology. Welcome, Dr. Iannuzzi.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming in today. So tell us your story. How did you get involved in 9/11 and the consequences thereof?
Well, as a Brooklyn boy and compassionate about New York City, I visited the site about 10, 12 days after the event. I happened to come into town for an American Lung Association meeting, and I went down to the site, and I was struck with how bad the air smelled. And there was people at Trinity Church handing out dust masks to wear. And I also walked across the Brooklyn Bridge and took a look at things from the Brooklyn Promenade and noticed that there was still smoke in the air and clouds of dust right around the site. And it was unbelievable to be able to just see the site that I had grown up watching the World Trade Center being built and getting to visit it at that time. Then a couple of years later, in 2003, I began as the division chief in pulmonary and critical care at Mount Sinai, which was then the designated headquarters for the registry for the World Trade Center.
So before that time, when you visited, you were still in training, and where was that?
No, I was faculty member, staff member at Henry Ford Health System in Detroit.
Okay. So it's interesting, though, that they actually had this Lung Association meeting
event. Well, this was a committee meeting. The American Lung Association headquarters was in downtown. It was at 65 Broadway. I take that back. Their headquarters were on 52nd Street in Broadway, and they actually moved down to 65 Broadway to indicate that the air quality was good enough to move down, which...
Like making a statement of
yes.
some kind.
So we had a scientific review committee, and it was scheduled, and I went to that meeting.
At that time, did you have great concern about the health of the residents of the area?
Oh, absolutely. There was clearly, you could just smell the air and see the air. And from what the docs told me at Mount Sinai is on that event, and all the hospitals were put on alert. Many of the doctors waited in the emergency room for the first rescue survivors to be brought to their emergency room, and what was striking is there were none. So while the emergency rooms and all the hospitals in the city were prepared to start taking survivors, what was striking was such a massive destruction and no survivors.
Yeah, we've been hearing that kind of story, and that is really chilling. So in your case, you got two years later, roughly, you began to head up this department. What kinds of cases did you see, and what were the sequelae? What were the results of this kind of?
So the most common problems that we saw became known as World Trade Center cough, which was a persistent cough. And the other thing that we were seeing was new asthma symptoms and new diagnosis of asthma at a much higher rate than we'd expect just in that population. So a lot of asthma and a lot of World Trade Center cough, gastroesophageal reflux symptoms, heartburn symptoms, sinusitis. So a lot of upper airway and asthma problems.
And do those go on to become more serious? In other words, did that kind of problem lead to some kind of lung involvement or respiratory distress long term?
What we've learned so far is now a decade later that those rescue workers who had the most intense and prolonged exposure, who were working in cleanup or who were involved, the iron workers and others during the rescue operations, was that they've lost lung function, and that loss of lung function persists to this day. And that's true of the non-smokers. It's much worse in those exposed to smoke, but even the non-smokers have lost lung function, and it just has been persistent. And their asthma symptoms have been, and those with asthma have also had persistent problems.
And it seems to me the potential still awaits that there could be even further long-term effects. Is that,
there are
so?
Two other problems. One is they saw a real spike in the incidence of this inflammatory disease called sarcoidosis, which is an inflammatory disease that mostly involves the lung and can lead to scarring in the lung, or what we call fibrosis. So there was a marked increase in incidence of sarcoidosis cases amongst the residents and the those exposed at the World Trade Center. And while as of yet there has been no excess cancer cases reported, the jury is still out on whether or not there will be an increased risk for cancer because of the latent period for cancer to develop after exposure. So things still are not clear what the complete effects are. Certainly, besides the lung problems and the risk for possible risk for cancer, the other common problems have been the post-traumatic stress disorders that many experience.
So those are ongoing, and as you said, because cancer can take many, many, many years to develop, we don't really yet know. The story's still untold, or it's unfolding, it sounds like.
That's correct. But the registry, the World Trade Center registry, is very well equipped to monitor that, and we will have the answers in the future whether there is epidemiologic evidence for increased risk.
Did you hear stories? I mean, was most of the people that you examined, were they mostly first responders? Were they mostly the workers? Or did it affect the population at large, and to what degree? I mean, were people in the Bronx as affected, for example?
So I got to meet people really in every aspect. There were firefighters. So there's one firefighter who was from Staten Island who came right over, who was a track star and a runner, who developed rather severe persistent asthma and continues to have problems to this day. And there were Verizon workers who were fixing the phone lines and the cable lines who were affected. There were Wall Street workers, brokers who I've seen who've had persistent problems. And there were, I had one nursing student who was helping search through the rubble who developed sarcoidosis from likely from the exposure she got. So, and there were residents, people who had a great deal of the World Trade Center dust in their apartments. So all walks of life and all manners of involvement.
What do you think, in a little bit of time we have left, what do you think we've learned, either medically, preventatively, you know, from this experience?
I think we learned that government officials need to communicate correct information. The initial confusion was communication that it was all safe and there would be no problems. And that was simply incorrect information that was given out. And we cannot allow that to happen in any disaster.
So that clearly the warnings needed to be strong, vehement, and clear. It's a little bit like what happened in Japan, excuse me, with the meltdown of the reactor.
That's correct. Effective communication is extremely important in times of disaster.
Well, Dr. Michael Iannuzzi, Professor of Medicine, Chair of the Department of Medicine at Upstate Medical University, thanks a lot for coming in today, sharing your reflections, your perspective on the health and you know, the needs that we have should we, God forbid, face another disaster like this. We have to take a short break, but we'll be right back, so please stay right there.